Welcome to another edition of the NFL Talk Plus show here on the Warlock Hour Network. It is week two in the books of the NFL season. We got a lot of injury news, and we got some quarterback changes probably happening a little early. And of course, talking football, I have to bring in my co-host, our resident Packers fan, Keith. Keith, how you doing?
Well, Ray, how's things?
Things are good. I mean, we're sitting pretty with our teams right now, both 2-0.
Yeah, we always kind of run through the checklist before we come on. And, like, you know, there's so much bad news. And I know that I always kind of slag you off for being the bearer of bad news. But it's so much bad news. But we're kind of riding high. Like, you know, both teams 2-0. It's kind of like, this NFL stuff is grand and handy. We've got sluts, man. So,
yeah. So the Packers come away with a big win against division rival in the over the Minnesota Vikings.
Huge.
Yeah, and the Bills go 2-0 at MetLife Stadium. Something, you know, the Jets are 0-2 there, and the Giants are 0-1 there.
Yeah.
So the Bills are 2-0, and the combined New Jersey teams are 0-3.
Yeah, but like to be honest with the Bills, watching the Bills, they really look like a well-coached team. You know, they have a couple of young guys on the defense as well. You know, things are on the up. Like, you know, when you look at the tire fires, it is some teams in the NFL that you kind of go, what are they building on? And we'll talk about some stuff later on. Yeah. But it's just kind of like, how are you expected to rebuild when you're ripping the youth core out of it? So
exactly. It's
kind of, do you know, like, whereas the Bills have some young players, they've got a couple of guys that are real kind of rotation players. And, like, they're getting results for it now, and Allen looks good for sure.
Yeah, what impressed me about this game is you watch the first drive, and the Giants basically just stormed down the field. It was almost all Saquon, 55 yards on the drive. And you're like, okay, wow, that's not good. But from that point on, he was practically shut down for the rest of the game. The Bills made the adjustments that they had to make. And that's what you got to do as a team. You got to make adjustments either on the fly or at halftime. They made it on the fly because the next series they came out and they were all over the Giants.
Yeah, absolutely. And they really did. They, again, as you say, Saquon had that breakaway and they really shut him. To be honest, I've noticed with Saquon. Saquon will have that one big play per game and then it's kind of like, what the hell, where'd that come out of? And then it's like you're waiting for it to happen again and then it doesn't really happen again.
So, yeah.
So it's kind of one of those things where, like, you know, he's still an incredible talent. But the Bills look good. Like, you know, the Bills are one of those workmen. Like, you know, I hate to compare them to the Panthers. But for me,
well,
they're a little bit Panther-like. You know, like, I know they've gotten a lot of influences in-house. But it's definitely based on that kind of smash-mouth football with kind of good defense. So, but it's definitely working for you guys. So, like, by all means, as I said at the start, we're happy. We're sitting pretty 2-0 for both teams.
Yeah, and we're going to get into your team a little bit later because that was one of the games of the week that we talked about. But a big, as we said at the top, the big win over the division rival. You got to love that.
Yes.
To go 2-0 because now you've beaten the Bears and the Vikings.
Yeah.
You're already 2-0 in the division.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, again, division rivals are always the key here because, again, if it comes down to tie break, and we preempted this before the start of the year or doing our preview, there's going to be very little to choose between the Packers, the Bears, and the Vikes. And again, if you can go two up in the division, you know, you're pleased.
Yeah, you got to watch out for Detroit. They're undefeated.
I don't know.
They're 1-0-1. Let's remember that they've tied that first game, so.
Yeah, but nobody's seen them beat the Chargers last week. Wasn't it the Chargers the best?
Yeah, they beat the Chargers 13-10
last week. Did not see that happen, because, like, you know, the Chargers are going to grow a lot, you know. So, it's one of those funny results. But, yeah, sure, look, I suppose let's get into some of the news.
All right, let's do it. We'll start off where I like to start off, and that is the injury front.
Some person.
That's the kind of person I am.
Yeah.
But yes, we got to start there because a lot of what we're going to talk about is going to bounce off of those injuries.
Yes.
So let's start with some simple ones, ones that guys are not out for the year yet. Excuse me.
No problem.
The Bucks have linebacker Devin White listed as day-to-day, but as I said to you before, I think it's going to be more week to week because it's an MCL sprain, and while it's not as serious as a tear, obviously, because an MCL tear would mean out for many, many weeks.
Yeah.
This is not an injury you come back from quickly, so he's probably going to miss week three and maybe week four, and then maybe be back week five or six.
This is one of those high-risk injuries as well. Mm. Like, you know, they rush him back at their peril, you know, like...
Yes.
Because this is a guy, like, this is an injury that, as you say, it could keep him out for 2 or 3 weeks, and then he can aggravate it quite easily, so...
Yeah, and now, nothing against the Giants, but the Giants don't look like a great team. That's who Tampa plays this week. Let him rest. Let him rest at least this week, and then see where he's at going into week four.
Yeah.
another injury that, again, is not as long-term, Cowboys wide receiver Michael Gallup is going to miss 2 to 4 weeks. He went, I always say this wrong, but I'm going to try and get it right, arthroscopic surgery on his knee. I almost got it.
Almost. But I'm going to leave it to you. I'm not going to critique it because there's not a chance, to be honest.
It's basically, it's a cleaning thing under the knee. Like, obviously there's like some tissue damage, but it's not like serious. Mm-hmm. But because, I mean, it is a surgery. Any surgery you go for is serious. But as far as like healing up, it is a 2 to 4 week. They list it as a 2 to 4 week rehab time. So he's going to be out again, probably almost as long as Devin White. About week five, week six, we'll see him back. Which is, I mean, the Dak's been spreading the ball around. So I don't think it's a big issue. But Michael Gallup has, like, almost all the wide receivers have looked really good.
Yeah, but like, we spoke about him last week. I thought that Gallup looked like an entirely different player. Mm-hmm. Again, as you say, whatever way Dak, this is the perennial kind of contract year kind of example of it going well for Dak. I know we're only 2 games in, mm-hmm. but like the way he's going.
Well,
like,
and this is year to do it, right? Contract year coming
yep.
up.
Absolutely. Like, you know, we've seen players do it for years that they always... Flacco was probably the most famous one to do it. Oh, he won the Super Bowl.
He went
but, like, you know... he only went with... Like, you know, and he was in contract year. And you remember, he got paid.
Oh, he got paid! Elite money, but he's not elite, no matter what he told you.
But do you remember that, like, his deal was the benchmark for about 3 years. That's how good it was. It was, like, 3 years where, like, normally we talk about new deals coming through every year, and then, like, Andrew Luck got his, and now Russell, what's your man's name? Seahawks. Russell Wilson got his.
Yeah.
You know, like, and then somebody will come across now next year and get theirs, and you know... Like, Flacco had the mantle for about 3 years there. He was the highest.
Part of that was, I think the only contract that came up in that time that was of significance was Tom Brady's, and Tom Brady always took the team-friendly deal.
Always on
his team. You know, always went for the lower money because he knew he was going to, you know, be in contention to win a Super Bowl every year.
Yeah.
So, he really did set the benchmark. Michael Gallup... playing as well as he has because of Dak Prescott playing as well as he has, you're going to miss him, but at the same time, you still have Amari Cooper.
Still have Cobb,
and apparently the rookie they've called up to replace Gallup, they liked him in the preseason, he just didn't make the cut because they had too much depth.
Yeah, no, I think that they're going to be fine, but he's...
It is a loss.
It certainly will be felt a little bit, but the way that they're playing, it's not going
to be huge. Yeah, spreading the ball around. And they got the best cure this week. They play Miami.
Yeah, exactly. And also, as well, like, you know, they still have Zeke that they haven't really truly unleashed yet.
Exactly. I mean, and that's partly due to the holdout. You know, he wasn't at training camp.
He's coming back.
Basically showed up, you know, 3 days before the season kicked off. So, yeah, he's still working his way back. All right, let's get to some more serious injuries. These guys are not going to be playing for some time. Some of them not at all this year. Redskins have placed running back Darius Geis on IR, or is it Juice? I never know.
Geis.
I think it's Geis, isn't it?
Yeah.
He has a torn meniscus. They're hoping he can play again this season, but you never know with an injury like this. And this is not the first time Darius has been injured. He missed his entire rookie season due to a knee injury as well, if I'm not mistaken. Or was it an ACL?
ACL, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is not good news for Darius, who's, you know, trying to get onto the roster and show what he can do, but yet he is always ending up injured.
Yeah, and like again, he seems to be really kind of unlucky in that respect, because again, as you say, we had it last year. He is at, wasn't Adrian Pearson a healthy scratch in the first?
Yeah, he was a healthy scratch week one.
Do you know, so that's how much they think of him, and they want to build on it, and like, you know, we've been hearing lots of reports, but we're just not seeing it at all yet, my friend.
Yeah, and moving on to a team that just, last year was a odd year for them because they stayed healthy. This year, we're back to the same old Chargers. And they're losing another player, and it's another safety, which is even worse because they already missing their best guy in Smith. Derwin James, right?
James, yeah.
So now they're going to lose safety Adrian Phillips as he broke his arm, so he's on IR. Again, with a broken arm, you're probably looking at Boomerang, possibly.
Yes.
But at the same time, for 8 weeks, this guy's not on your team.
Yeah, and like, you know, again, as you say, like the fact that this is the second guy they're after going through, it's not ideal at all. And you know, again, they're going to have to probably bring in somebody now. They might have to promote somebody from within, like kind of a younger guy maybe that was working with them through the off season. Mm. This is kind of the messy time with players because there's just so many injuries. And again, it goes back to that conversation. We're not in preseason now, so nobody cares. But like these injuries could easily happen preseason. Or we see it now, we're in week two, and like we haven't even got to the headliner injuries yet.
No, we haven't. We're still coming.
we just really, like, the way that it is, you can just never tell. You know,
that's, yeah, and that's why I don't always like that argument about not playing in the preseason. Because I think you need to get your muscles and your body prepared for what the season brings you. And I know the veterans say, oh, well, but we've been through it. Yeah, but your body hasn't been through it since, you know, January, February, if you were in the playoffs, or December, if you
December, like December, the first week, like New Year's Eve, New Year's Day is kind
yeah,
of
yeah, this year it was, this past year was New Year's Day, but most of the times it's December.
so that's 9 months not playing. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's a huge amount of time where, like, yes, okay, you have the preseason training and stuff, but, like, again, it's just...
Game speed.
Can't beat it.
All right, let's move on to the New York Jets. Already missing Sam Darnold due to mono. We never know how long that takes. When mononucleosis is contracted by an adult, there's so many implications to this. It is a very curable disease. It usually only takes a few weeks. But the problem here is, until he's fully healthy, he can't play because he could burst his spleen, because that's the area that is weakened, and if that happens, he's dead.
He's not mad, Ted.
It is mad. So he has to rest up. So they're already missing him, and then in the Week 2 game against the Cleveland Browns on Monday night, they lose Trevor Siemian, severe ankle injury. That's all they're saying. They're not saying if it's broken or what, but it's severe enough that they've placed him on IR, ending his season. It's severe enough that they're saying his season's over. This is not a Boomerang situation. Trevor Siemian's done. So they're turning to a rookie by the name of Luke Falk as their starting quarterback for Week 3. And who knows, maybe the Jets give the Miami Dolphins a run for their money in the last place race.
We'll talk about this Dolphins thing in a while. To be honest, I think that the Jets are a better team.
I agree.
The Jets are being badly managed. We'll talk about that as well. So just go past Siemian and we'll talk about him later.
All right. Anyway, let's move on to the next injury, and it affects our favorite team to hate, the New England Patriots. They lose another offensive lineman. I mean, it doesn't seem to matter. This team has got the easiest schedule to start the season. You know, like they... let's be honest. The first game should have been harder, but it wasn't. They steamrolled the Steelers, rather. And then they get gifted the Miami Dolphins. And now they get gifted a very hurting New York Jets. I mean, they're easily going to start this season 3-0. But they do lose offensive tackle Isaiah Wynn to a toe injury that... forced him, it was so bad that he was put on IR. Now, I've heard of turf toe keeping guys out for a few weeks. I've never heard it forcing them to put somebody on IR, so something else is going on here.
Yeah, it's not turf toe if they're doing that. Like, you know, we see in Julio Jones apparently has had one of the worst cases of turf toe, and it was only about 4 weeks that he was out. And again, like that, he needs, like, you know, he's needs to be more kind of on bouncing on his feet to actually do his job. So, yeah, no, it has to be something else.
Yeah. They're just saying toe injury, but it is, I will say this, the only downside for the Patriots, good side for everybody else, is that it is the left tackle position, which is the blind side, of course, of Tom Brady. So they're definitely going to want to have somebody there to protect their quarterback, because if you don't protect Brady, we all know what happens. They lose, which, like I said, good for everybody else, bad news for the Patriots fans.
Yep.
Let's move on to the two biggest injuries now. The two biggest named injuries, I would say. First, let's start with the New Orleans Saints. They lost quarterback Drew Brees. I believe it was on the second series of the game. He is going to miss 6 to 8 weeks because he tore ligaments in the throwing hand of his thumb. Like, the ligaments in his thumb of his throwing hand.
Yes.
Tore them. Had to have surgery. Actually, I think he flew to Los Angeles to have surgery today as we're recording, which is Thursday. Wednesday we're recording. Thursday is when you're going to hear it, hopefully. But yeah, Drew Brees, 6 to 8 weeks, that's a big loss.
Absolutely. Like, it's Drew Brees. Like, you know, we're not talking about, you're not talking about, like, Sam Darnold here even. Like, you know, you're talking about Drew Brees. He's like, you know, it's the equivalent of a Tom Brady, or is the equivalent of an Aaron Rodgers. It's Drew Brees. Like, to be honest, we've seen the game, watching NFL over the last couple of days, power rankings and everything like that. It totally transforms this team. Like, totally, like, without a doubt, totally transforms this team. And we've seen it. It was a game that we covered, and we've seen the difference in the Rams' attitude against playing the Saints. They came aggressive then as soon as Bridgewater went in behind that line, and you see that again, as you say, Bridgewater will handle it better having a week knowing that he's going to be playing, but at the same time the Rams were good enough to get at him. But Brees, like, there was one stage in that second half when they came out after the second half and he had his helmet on and everything, and I was going,
well, he wanted to go out there. He really wanted to play. He didn't care.
I was just like, oh my God, he like, you know, it'd be the most Breeze thing to happen, that he'd just be like, no, it's okay, and then it'll be revealed that his thumb was hanging off by a thread. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, he couldn't grip the ball. You need, as a quarterback, the biggest part of gripping the ball is the thumb. That's kind of like a key component, and so he's going to miss some time. I think the Saints are going to be in better position than this next team that suffered an injury, and that is the Pittsburgh Steelers. Quarterback Ben Roethlisberger was placed on injured reserve with an elbow injury in his throwing arm that requires surgery. Now, in baseball, it's known as Tommy John surgery, and it's usually because of the throwing motion. And we know Ben Roethlisberger's throwing motion, that's what causes the injury. But compound that with being hit, and you got a Steelers team that is now turning to Mason Rudolph as their starting quarterback.
Ray, the Roethlisberger one looked so innocuous.
Oh, yeah.
No, like, literally it was just a throw in motion. Do you know what I mean? Like, nobody.
That's what I'm saying. That's why you see it a lot in baseball.
Yeah, it was just a throw in motion. Whatever way he swung his arm out, instantly he just kind of winced. And there was nobody near him, and it was just like, what? Like, I thought it was nothing. Do you know that you're just, and again, it wouldn't be the first time that Big Ben would, like, you know, oh my God, like, my head's hanging off. I'm going to do it for the team. Let's go, Steelers. And he was done. And like, well done. We found out now since that it has been announced that he's on IR.
Yeah, and they're saying his season's over. They're going the rest of the year.
It's interesting to see that Brees is not put on IR.
No, they're listing him as a week-to-week. Now, we've been told that this kind of injury is a minimum 6 weeks. So they're looking at that sixth week, and they're saying, like, if we put him on IR, we're guaranteed not having him for eight.
Yes.
So if we don't put him on IR and just list him on the injury report every week, you know, it's a roster spot that it's taking up, but it's Drew Brees. If he can come back in 5-6 weeks, we're going to take him.
Yeah, absolutely. But so, yeah, with Big Ben, to be honest, this Steelers team is, I personally, I think, and Tyler's obviously a very close friend of mine on the pod. But like, he's a Steelers fan. He's got to be.
Yeah, he's got to not be happy because I believe, if I'm not mistaken, this happened on his birthday.
Oh, rage.
Yeah.
It's a tough time to be. It's a tough time to be a Steelers fan, I think.
Now we're going to get to see, though, what Mason Rudolph is all about, because he was a quarterback that was talked about in his draft.
Who did they trade last week to the Jags?
Josh Dobbs.
Right. So they obviously have faith in this Mason
Rudolph. Well, yeah, the Josh Dobbs trade, like, he was the third stringer already on the team.
Yeah.
He had lost the backup job 2 years ago.
Yeah.
To Mason Rudolph. So Mason Rudolph obviously is the guy that they think is a better quarterback. What I will say, though, is that they have signed Paxton Lynch. I didn't have that in a rundown, so I'm going to add that in here now to back up Mason Rudolph. But I don't know how good of a – I just hope Mason Rudolph is good to go, because, yeah, I'm not relying on Paxton Lynch to lead me anywhere.
No, well, but, again, not even that he'd be serviceable, but you can bring him in and he's a body in a jersey. Yeah. I wouldn't let him run on the bus, never mind a team. But, no, look, I'll tell you, to be honest, I think the Steelers have an opportunity now to see what Rudolph has, because, like, you know,
yes.
Now the only thing is, Big Ben did say he's got 3-year contracts. Now, as much
yeah,
as...
Yeah, so he'll have 2 years left after this one,
because
this year's a write-off.
As much as it doesn't mean anything, but he still said he'd come back for it, so we'll wait and
yeah.
see.
Exactly. The Steelers have shown that they're not writing off the season, because almost right after it was announced that he was going on IR and, you know, that Mason Rudolph was going to be the starter, big trade happens once again involving the Miami Dolphins, who just seem to be purging everybody so that they can get the number one draft pick in the draft next year. They're going to have all the leverage. All the draft picks are going to be and now on the clock, the Miami Dolphins. And now on the clock, the Miami Dolphins. That's what it's just going to be. So the Miami Dolphins have traded a second year, a guy they drafted 2 years ago in the first round, safety Minka Fitzpatrick, and a fourth round pick in this coming year's draft, a seventh round pick in the following year's draft, to the Steelers for a first round pick this year, a fifth round pick this year, and a sixth round pick in the next draft. That is massive.
It could be if the Steelers keep going as they're going.
You know what? Even this year, okay, even if you write off this year for the Steelers, they now have a top tier safety who's what, 23, 24?
Yeah, okay. But, like, you see, the Steelers have more holes than its top-tier safety.
Oh, I do know that.
Do you know, like, and my attitude towards it is that I don't think it's that wise, especially looking at the value on that top-tier pick, because, like, at the moment, like, they're 0-2. So it's kind of like, right, okay.
Yeah, but they're a close 0-2. That Seahawks game, they are...
Yeah,
they
but if
could
they
have
top
won that
10 pick, I don't see them recovering that well under Rudolph, that they're going to be anything, like, you know, anything outside of top 10. So for me, the Dolphins could end up having, like, the first.
Oh, pick. Yeah, but they're not done. They're probably going to trade more stuff and get more picks.
Well, they're not good. They have nothing else left. Like, you know, the farm gate is open, everything's gone, anything worth of value. Like, you know, there's a few stray dogs and, like, stuff like that that are left behind. Like, there's not a whole lot. Like, if you'd have said, right, what are you going to build a team off? On the defense, your young leader was Minka Fitzpatrick. On the offense, your young leader was offensive tackle Laramie Tunsil. They got rid of both of those. So, like, what do you do then? Like, I don't understand the model they're going. They want a load of picks, but now they've put nobody in a position. Like, we talk about the Browns model, but at least the Browns kind of had a few serviceable players, brought in a couple of old linemen, and they were kind of, it was a work in progress for 2 or 3 years to get to where they are now. Now, they're not winning the Super Bowl by any means. But at the same time, the Dolphins, to me, is I said it last week, it's just mind-blowing what they're doing. I think they've taken it too far. The rebuild or the reboot or the tanking is like, you know, it's for me, it's just a little bit too far. Because Fitzpatrick should be somebody you're absolutely building a team around. Tunsil should be somebody that you're at, like, imagine putting a quarterback behind Tunsil. Your happy days, like, there's 5 years. Like, you know, like, I think what Tunsil got another 3 years on it.
They do still have assets. Don't get me wrong. I think both running backs and the tight end.
Running backs, you know that as well as I do. There's no value in them. Do you know, like, as in, yes, they've got good ones, but there's no. You're not going to trade them for big money because they don't even.
Well, no, but I mean, they're just going to build up those draft picks, and yeah. It's like I said, you're going to hear. And now on the clock, Miami Dolphins. And you're just going to be hearing that like every second or third pick because they're freaking just – that's all they're doing. They don't want to win.
Yeah.
And by proving that, they've now scored a grand total of 10 points in 2 games, and they're still starting Ryan Fitzpatrick. They're not even giving Josh Rosen a smell.
Yeah, it's – but what's hilarious is when the Dolphins don't even seem to be tanking right because, like, you know – there's so many other bad teams going worse for them. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, as much as the Dolphins have been bad. Like,
yeah, but they're winning that point differential. So even if, like, two teams go 0-16, which I doubt it, that would be bonkers, they would probably have it by points because they've given up so many points already. They've given up the second most points in NFL history in the first 2 games.
Yeah, it's mad.
I want to know who was the first. I didn't look that up. I should have done that. I have no idea who's given up more points than the freaking Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, it's mad. It's just craziness.
Yeah. So that's the big trade. So we got a couple of other news, and then we're going to get into some games. We have a cut that I wanted to talk about because I have a feeling some team's going to pick this guy up, and he's going to do what he always does, and that's C.J. Anderson getting released by the Detroit Lions. I know you were just saying running backs don't have a market, but this is a guy that seems to always turn it on at the right time. And there's going to be a team, maybe like similar to the Rams did it last year. They pick him up, he comes in, and he does his job, you know, last few weeks of the season into the playoffs. Some team's going to cash in here.
Of course. Don't be surprised if the Redskins pick him up, though.
That would not surprise me, and that would be bad for CJ, but...
Bad for CJ, a bad opportunity.
Well, I believe he's released, so he is a free agent. He's not on waivers. So I don't think he has to clear waivers, so I think he has some choice of where to go. So,
but again, look, don't be surprised if he holds on till week 10.
Yeah,
week
he might hold out for a few weeks and just rest up and say, oh, I'll wait for the right, you know, situation.
Yes.
All right, let's get into some side news here. First up, the New Orleans Saints have given their head coach, Sean Payton, an extension, a 5-year contract extension, which I believe, if my math is correct, keeps him in New Orleans until after the 2024 season. He's just been there so long, I don't even remember who the last coach of the Saints is, or was.
That's true. I actually... It wasn't Ryan, was it? Was it Rob Ryan?
Was it Rob Ryan? Wasn't he just the coach of the defense, like defense coordinator?
Could be. I don't know.
I don't even know. Like that's what I mean. Like Sean Payton's and the Saints go hand in hand, and you can say what you want about him. He's kind of a dick, but he's led this team to the playoffs many times. They've won a Super Bowl under him. I mean, and they like him. They obviously like him.
No, they do. They really do. And they've always been afraid of their life of actually losing him to somebody else. Like you've always heard kind of the.
Off-season trade of a coach.
Exactly, and we've heard the Cowboys. The Cowboys have always been long kind of courting him, so we'll wait and see for sure.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so next up here is that the Jacksonville Jaguars have a situation. We knew this was an issue going into the season. He wants to get paid, and that we're talking about cornerback Jalen Ramsey. He really wants to get his money. Like he's played out of his mind. He's one of the top corners in the league. He has now requested to be traded because after fighting with this organization over the offseason about a contract, he's now had verbal confrontations now with head coach Doug Marrone. And speaking as a Bills fan, I know that Doug Marrone has a history of kind of coming at players the wrong way and butting heads.
Yeah, and to be honest, I like Jalen a lot. I really, really do. But he seems to have a massive chip on his shoulder. And again, as you say, we seen the pictures from last week. Apparently, he's not happy with the system. He's not happy with. But to be honest, if I was there in Jacksonville as well, I wouldn't be happy either, because I don't know how you can go from being 2 years ago being shut down to one of the best, what, top three defenses in the league.
Yeah.
To now they've gone the other way, and they've the same players with the exception of like Malik Jackson. They still have Abuye, and you know, like they haven't lost an awful lot to justify why they're not as good anymore. So I'd say it's frustrating for the young chap. I'd say it's going to be. I've always been an advocate of him, and to be honest, I'd say there's at least 28 other teams in the league that would be an advocate for him. But I'd say it's going to be too rich. I'd say they're going to be looking for an awful lot to get the deal done, in my opinion.
Yeah, although sometimes a GM, and we know who the GM over there is, even though he's not officially the GM, sometimes you just trade a guy just to get the locker room under control.
Oh, time will tell. If he goes to a contender, which I don't think he will, because he's going to need a new contract.
Well, if he goes to a contender, right, he's going to go to the... I think he goes to the NFC. I think they trade him out that way. They don't want to face him.
Yeah.
So if he goes to a contender, it's going to be in the NFC. So you're looking at somebody like... could you imagine him on, like, the Seahawks? Whoa.
That's their defense totally rebuilt in like, 4 weeks.
Yeah. It's not going to happen before the Thursday night game, so he's going to have to go and play against Nashville, or Nashville, against Tennessee, which is where they play out of Nashville, but they are the Tennessee Titans. So he's going to play that game, but it would not surprise me if by week four he is on a new team. So we'll have to wait and see on that one, obviously. With them playing the Thursday night game, it gives the GM a little bit of extra time to get any conference calls done, or what he's got to do to see if he can trade this guy. All right, let's talk some New Jersey football. The New York Jets, we talked about them having issues with the quarterback position. Now they might have some issues with the defensive coordinator. We all know Greg Williams has his own style. He seems to bounce around the league a lot. The Odell Beckham situation last week, where Odell said, you know, several times that you know, Greg targets people, and Greg denied that when we know there's legal ramifications out there.
There's evidence. There's physical. He got suspended for it. It was a whole thing. Bounty game. The whole thing. He's been proven to do it. It's not news.
Yeah. So now this week, in the Browns game, there was a play that Odell made, and Odell made a great play, but Greg said Jamal missed the wasn't aware of what was happening, so he benched Jamal Adams. Now, Jamal Adams is what, his third year in the league?
Yeah.
And he's one of the up-and-coming safeties in the league. He's got lots of talent. He transformed the Jets' defense over the last two seasons.
Yeah.
And then in the offseason, they go out and they pay the highest paid cornerback in the league in Tremaine Johnson. And they both get benched when the game was still within reach. That makes absolutely no sense.
I mean, these are legit, shutdown players. Yeah. Jamal Adams, as you say.
These are guys that can turn around the game, in a heartbeat because of a pick.
Yeah, these guys are they're not average players. They're not rotation players. Tremaine Johnson came from the Rams because they couldn't afford to keep him.
Yeah.
They wanted him.
They would have loved to have had him, but they couldn't afford the money that he wanted.
Exactly. So it's mad, the whole concept. But Williams is Williams. We talked about this before we came on the air. Williams is just one of those people. He's mad as a box of frogs. I don't know how he keeps getting let into buildings, to be honest. The Browns done well last year.
He keeps getting jobs.
Yeah, he keeps getting jobs, but like, the Browns done well last year, but I think it's a product of, it was 70%.
Well, that was a lot of kitchens last year.
And also, it was a lot of the players. Like, you know, the quality of players that he has there, the front seven that he had there. So, look, again, we could talk about Greg Williams. He's a historical figure in the NFL, and that's not likely to change.
No. All right, let's move over to the other New Jersey team, the New York Football Giants. They have officially announced that Daniel Jones will start week 3. Eli is going to start the game on the bench. So the Eli era, is it over in New York?
On Monday, we heard reports. Obviously, we heard the reports that Big Ben went down and that Drew Brees went down. And we've been talking about Nick Foles has gone down. And I was kind of thinking, I wonder, will Eli have a trade market, right?
Yeah.
And then we kind of heard, Eli has a future with the Giants. We're not looking to shop him. Right, and I was kind of going, oh my God, they're driving up the price. This is a fantastic play by the Giants. They'll get an extra couple, like, you know what I mean? They'll get a slightly higher pick by kind of playing hardball. But then for them to turn around and go in the next day, then yesterday, oh, we're going with Daniel Jones. I was kind of going, you could have got something for Eli, or at least more than what you're probably going to get now. Like, I don't imagine that they're actually going to get a whole lot for Eli, but I'd say they will trade him. There's no point in keeping him there. As much as he kind of cried to get in there, I don't think he'd be crying too much to get out, because you go into a system, whether it be Pittsburgh or whether it be the Saints, I don't imagine he'll go to the Saints. But, like, again, I just thought where they planned it quite well, I thought initially on Monday, it kind of just, it fell apart for me on Tuesday. I thought that they could have got a bit more from him.
Yeah, I mean, the trade markets, I mean, I guess if there's a trade to be made, it's got to be either with the Jacksonville Jaguars or the Pittsburgh Steelers at this point. I don't know if another team is going to be willing to give up draft picks to get a player who's probably near the end of his career.
Yeah.
If not like the final season of his career. But it'd be somebody that has experience and can play in, if they're, you know, like, for example, the Steelers. Let's take the Steelers as a prime example, because they've got so many pieces already there. Yes, their defense needs some help, but they've got so many pieces already there that if you bring an Eli in just for this season, I mean, maybe they have a chance of making the playoffs.
Yeah, but that's it. Like, you know, like, there's going to be, like, we talk about a fifth round is not a whole lot, right?
No.
Like, because a fifth round is probably a 25% bet at best, right? That you're going to hit on a, now, okay, you can say, oh, Tom Brady was dropped in fifth round.
The Tom Brady's of the world are not the norm. You don't draft a guy in the sixth round and he goes on to be a six-time Super Bowl champion.
It's an exception to the rule. It's not the rule. Right, it's not the average, it's an exception. So basically, yes, there is good quality to be found, but the likeliness of you hitting on it is probably 1 in 32. There's probably one team in 32 that'll get a decent player or a world-class player out of that. So if you turn around and go, right, okay, can we make a push? Is there a few things that we have? Let's say the Rams, for instance. The Rams with an Eli, when you Cooper Kupp, you've got Kenny Britt, and you've got your man Brandon Cooks. You kind of go, okay, well, not Kenny Britt. It's
I'm going to stop you right there, because Kenny Britt is long gone. It's Robert Woods.
Robert Woods. So, like, when you look at the three of those guys, you kind of go, well, and then you've Todd Gurley and the other guy in the backfield. You kind of go, well, Eli could go in there and do a job for a fifth rounder. I take that.
Yeah.
And then you're not ruining your chances. But, like, for me, I just thought it was weird. They could have got maybe a fourth, because they were kind of going...
Yeah, right. The price has definitely gone down of what they're going to get. But, I mean, at this day and age, do you think it, like, does he get traded? Or do they just keep him as a sort of like a mentor to Daniel?
Oh, dude, I think if they get any sort of value for him, he's gone. He has to be. Like, if you've made that decision already... What is he going to do? A mentor? We look, to be honest, we know his attitude is he's the consummate.
Yeah, he's, Yeah, he's so gracious in this. He's like, the statement that I said to you before we started recording was his quote, "I'm not dying, and the season's not over."
Exactly. And again, like that, he's right. Like, you know, he's not dying, the season's not over. But I don't imagine that he's not going to be stinging over the whole thing. But as well,
he was benched before. Cost the coach his job, too.
It did. And like, again, he is kind of beloved in New York, but it was time for him to go. And as much as they didn't want Daniel Jones, they wanted somebody else, it's kind of a case, right, well, let's see what the kid's got now at this stage, because we know what we're getting with Eli. And yeah, Eli is solid and serviceable, but again, he's got to go into a good situation.
Yeah,
it's only a team with a good situation that's going to take him.
Yeah, okay, so... I have one more bit of news before we head into the games, and that was I was reading today that Dallas Cowboys have a disgruntled player. Oh, crap. I've blanked on his name. He's been benched for the first two games this season, and he wants out of Dallas. He tweeted...
Oh, he was there. He was there. I was reading about it.
I'm just trying to see if I can
throw back. Taco Charlton.
Yes, Taco Charlton. Yes, yeah. That's the guy. He tweeted about it, and then he deleted the tweet, but once it's tweeted, it's out there.
It's there.
So basically, he wants out because he thinks he can contribute, and for Dallas, he's not doing that because Dallas doesn't think he can. And to be fair, they have depth at the position.
Yeah, like to be honest, we talk about Dallas, we talk about their front five, like, you know, like, and actually we talk about the front seven, because Van Der Esch and the other guy that got paid, Jalen Smith, like they're elite, and you're talking about DeMarcus Lawrence, you're talking about, you know, like they have good players. Taco's not getting an opportunity, one, because he's not living up to the potential of a first round pick. But two, that they have plenty of serviceable players.
Yeah, and the potential, like, okay, yes, he had a bad sophomore year, but his rookie year was pretty good.
Yes.
And I think that maybe they should consider trading him just to give him a chance. I would like to see him get an opportunity to play and see what he can do. By sitting down in the booth, he's not getting a chance to do anything.
If I was any player outside of the big six or seven players in the Cowboys, I would be petrified. If I had any potential at all, and you were playing above any level, you know that you're going to get paid. But you know you ain't getting paid ahead of Zeke.
Oh, yeah, absolutely not.
Amari. Like, you know, they've already paid DeMarcus Lawrence. Like, you know, there's literally so many guys ahead of you that it's going to be a really, really interesting time. Van Der Esch is going to have to be paid as well. Like, you know, like, there's going to be...
And they still got to pay Dak.
So, like, there's not going to be... Like, if I was Taco, even if he was playing week in, week out, I'd be worried if I was Taco. Maybe you'd kind of hang on for the year and see if they truly have a Super Bowl run in them. But, like... Aside from that, if you were chasing cash, Cowboys not a place to stay because there's too many people to be paid there.
Now, honestly, I think he's just chasing playing time right now.
Oh, that's what it seems to be. But I'm saying from the point of view, that's the way that I'd be thinking. Even if he was to play, that it's kind of just, I think that he's going to come to a contract and they're not going to renew it. So.
Well, absolutely not. All right, let's move into some football games. That's why we love doing this show. The first game we're going to talk about is the Green Bay Packers and the Minnesota Vikings. This was our first game that we picked.
Yeah.
And obviously, you watched it live. I watched it on 40 Minutes. It was a tale of two halves.
It was
for the offense.
It was
Packers' defense was solid throughout the entire game.
It was a really, really weird game. The Packers' defense came out straight away and was just dominant. They really kind of gave Kirk no real room. Dalvin Cook is a special talent. I don't care what anybody says.
He's
just, do you know what he has? He's got the build of like an Adrian Peterson or who would you say? He's got the build. He's kind of short and stocky, but he has that patience of a lead belt. Like, he really does. Just there was a few times where Kenny Clark, our defensive tackle, had the center backed up into him, and he just hung on his back, and then he just broke out and he was gone. Like, you know, he's a special talent. I think he is. I think he's a fantastic player. But for Green Bay, first would you say quarter and a bit?
Yeah.
And our offense is lights out. Like, yeah. Lights out. Like, as in, oh my God, bombs to Davante Adams.
Well, yeah, here I'll just read these stats out for you. First drive, 4 plays, 75 yards, touchdown. Second drive, 11 plays, 68 yards, touchdown. Third drive, 4 plays, 33 yards, touchdown. That's the first three drives of the game.
It was like it was. It was 21 to nothing. It was kind of like, oh my God, are the
this is going to be a blowout.
Yeah. And then what happened then was we went back to what we did last weekend in the fact that offense entirely stuttered for the nearly three quarters of the game. And it really didn't get going. The run game didn't establish itself. The passing game, it seemed to be down to, I don't know. It, like, you know, there was a couple of drop balls. And then the Vikes kind of just clawed themselves back in.
They clawed their way back into the game. But that defense looked really good, I have to say, for Green Bay.
The Vikings, though, have some squad. If you think about the...
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, Thielen there was just, like, he was immense at times, you know, and he just has that aggression. Stephon Diggs is a great player. Cook is a great player. And then their defense speaks for itself. But, yeah, the look, I think that, as you say, the Packers defense has something going, right?
Yeah.
Turning the ball over, which we've not done in about 6 years. Unless it was the opposite way.
Like, what was, you got a fumble recovery. I remember that. Was there another one?
It wasn't Josh King.
I forget, but there was an interception as well.
At the end, and it was a fumble recovery because
the fumble recovery was early. That was the short drive that I lifted off there. I think that was the fumble inside Minnesota zone there.
Blake Martinez looks class.
Man, we talked about that, man, and we said that he could be in for a big season. You actually, in our fantasy league draft, I drafted him and you were like, "Oh, Ray!"
Right. Literally, I was the pick ante and I was kind of going, it's between him and him. I'll pick him first. Ray will never pick him. Of course you did. But no, again, they look well set up. The defense, Peyton has the defense. There's some excellent pass rushers, and I'll tell you, the two Smiths are, like, after transforming the way that they play. Because, like, you know, when you consider that Mike Daniels is not on the team anymore and they just released him this summer, they obviously seen, hold on a second, we don't need to pay this guy because we've got Lowry and Adams, or Lowry and Clark in the middle, and then the two Smiths on the outside. It's really, really interesting to watch. Do you know what? To be honest, our next game we'll be talking about is the Rams, and Clay Matthews is playing for the Rams. And I think with Clay looked great because he had Donald opposite him. And I think now, that looking at it now, I think that if he was on that Packers team, I think he'd get more of an opportunity because he was kind of playing everywhere, or he was the only one that was trying to do anything. I feel a little bit bad when we'll be talking about the Saints and the Rams in a minute, but it's just kind of when I see that, I was like, Clay's still got it. And, like, you know, again,
in that situation there, you're right. Like, he kind of, like, especially the last couple of years in Green Bay, he kind of did have to do everything. But when you have to just focus on your position, mm-hmm. the position you're meant to play, like, we're seeing it, to use another allusion, in Houston with Whitney Merciless. He is playing so good right now.
Yeah.
Because he's now back to where he normally would have played before Jadeveon Clowney left.
Yep.
So sometimes players just need that change to be who they were when they were good.
Sure, like, think about it like this. Like, if you truly think about it, like, let's say somebody like Clay. Clay went from playing pass rusher, right, to he's played defensive edge.
They moved him all over the place for a couple of seasons.
He played middle linebacker there for about 2 years, and his coverage was terrible, but it's only because it's Clay that you give him a benefit of the doubt.
Uh-huh.
And he wants to be an outside linebacker.
Yeah, that's his natural position. That's what he was drafted to be.
Played an awful lot in defensive tackle or defensive edge there for Rams on Sunday.
Yeah.
And again, like that, he was in the backfield all the time.
All the time.
There's more than just him doing it, you know, so...
Yeah. Well, let's transition into that game. Good win by the Green Bay Packers. They're hosting the Denver Broncos this week. could be in line for a 3-0 start.
Gotta be. Like, Ray, you've gotta look at the Broncos and go, at home in Lambeau, oh yes, please. Like, you know, we have to be 3-0. Have to be 3-0.
Yeah. So our next game, we've already touched on it, obviously, with the Los Angeles Rams taking on the New Orleans Saints. This is the game where Drew Brees went down early, second series. And in fact, he hit his hand on, he had thrown the football and his thumb hit the defender's hand.
Donald.
And it snapped it back, and that was it. There was the torn ligaments. It was the Teddy Bridgewater show from there. And really, it became the Will Lutz show, because all Saints managed were 3 field goals in this game. That is not going to do it against an offense like the Los Angeles Rams.
No, and I'll tell you what, Cooper Kupp does not look like he missed a step.
Oh, he's back from injury, and he is good.
I like that Cooper Kupp. I have to say, I would love him at Green Bay. That guy is just not even a safety valve. He can make plays. Like, yes, he's only a slot, but he's just so reliable with the ball. He can get yards, he can fight yards for after the catch. I think he's a phenomenal player. And like, to think that he's after coming back after an ACL injury, and he's fast, he's quick.
Yeah, the only thing he didn't do was score. He had 120 yards in the game, and I mean, he was moving all over the field. He even had a rush, I think, in this game, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
He was really dynamic for them, and that, I mean, that's what you were getting before the injury, and to see it still there.
Yes,
you're right. He did not. He looks the same.
The only thing that I will say is the offense does not look as fluid as it has in the last 2 years.
Now, Goff made some poor throws there, I thought. Gurley is still a question mark to me.
There's something going on there, man. There has to be something going on there. I don't know. Like, but they paid him. So, like, if there was any hesitancy on their part, they wouldn't have paid him.
Oh, no. I mean, like, you're still going to have the guy. I mean, they have, what's his name? Malcolm Brown.
Yes.
Who spelled him a few times. He had, I think, over 30, close to 40 yards himself in this game. And I think Gurley was in, what, low 60s?
Yeah.
So, between the two of them, I mean, that's 100 yards. So, I mean, if you get a 100-yard rusher, they say you're going to be chewing a lot of clock. I guess we're just so used to seeing Gurley get his catches out of the backfield, and we're not seeing that as much this season.
Yeah, we're really not. Like, you know, and we haven't seen it for a good... Like,
well, yeah, last 4 or 5 weeks last year, all through the playoffs?
Yeah. Like, you know, that's my only worry for Gurley. Like, you know, and you wonder what's going on. Do you know,
yeah.
It's a very interesting point, because, like, you know, he really isn't being utilized the same way, because he was that workhorse. But for me, the defense looks stellar again. That Wade Phillips has, like, you know, they're just flying around there. Everybody wants to make plays. And like, they look like they're going to do it. Like, as I say, the whole kind of intro was, Clay looks rejuvenated and interested. Aaron Donald was the one that caused the injury, but like, it's because he just caught.
He did what he was supposed to. He got his hands up when the ball. Oh, Jesus!
I'm not blaming him at all. It wasn't dirty at all. Like, it actually looked.
No, this was just a.
Do you know what it looked like? For all intents and purposes, was an offset high five. Do you know when you go to high five?
yeah, pretty much.
That's what it was like. Do you know? So it's just kind of it was again. You seen where the impact was, but when you look at the Saints, for me, I know you're giving Teddy the benefit of the doubt.
I have to, for two reasons. One, as I said to you earlier, the non-preparation for this team. You've got to remember, Teddy's probably not getting a lot of snaps in practice. If he's getting any snaps in at all, he's probably running the Rams offense more than he's running the Saints offense. The other thing is, you're playing one of the best defenses in the league. And they're going to get after it. I just pulled up some stats, and it's funny that we were talking about Clay Matthews. He actually had a forced fumble in this game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's getting around. And when you have guys like Aaron Donald and, you know, Clay Matthews coming into the backfield almost every play, you're just not going to get off. And they knew to key on certain things, because they shut down Kamara.
Mm-hmm.
And if you shut down Kamara, you're forcing Teddy to pass. And by forcing him to pass, especially once they got down by the numbers they got down. You knew the pass was coming. It was just, I just think this was a bad game for him to come into against this particular team.
Yeah, he's not like he's playing the Dolphins or somebody like that and might get a chance. Like, you know, you are talking about the perennial kind of the last 2 years.
You are talking about, technically, for all intents and purposes, the NFC Championship.
Yeah, you are. Like, you know, this is the thing. That this is, they've been Super Bowl contenders the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And they've shown us nothing else to, or shown us nothing to say that they won't be the same again this year. So
now the Saints are going to have a tough time this week as well with defense because they're going into Seattle.
Oh.
So it might not be a good indicator either, but you have to say this is where.
Why don't we justify it, Teddy, already?
All I'm saying is, I think we're going to see a lot of both quarterbacks. You're going to see about 20 snaps each.
Right, I shouldn't like the Vikings as much as I do because I'm a Packers fan, right? But I still have a little bit of an allegiance to the Vikings, right? And I like Teddy all the time. Liked when they signed him as a rookie. I liked him up until he got his injury. Since he's come back from his injury, and it's justifiable, so I think he looks a bit skittish. I think that he's taken a step back. And I genuinely don't think that he's as good as he was. And now again, look, you can't come back from that.
Well, maybe you roll with Taysom Hill. I mean, they keep saying he's the next John Elway. We'll put him out there.
Well, I think that they have to, because I know that he was up against the Super Bowl caliber defense, but they're up against Super Bowl.
Yeah, they are.
And you know what? To be honest, what have they got? They've got the, hold on 1 second. They've got the Seahawks. Then they've got the Cowboys. Then they've got the Buccaneers. Okay, the Buccaneers, fine. Jaguars, if Jalen's still there. Then they've got the Bears. Like, you know, like, come on, like, you know.
Yeah, so they'll be tested, and we'll see. We'll see in those few weeks whether either of these quarterbacks can do anything. If they can come out of that, if they can come out of the next 5 weeks, say even 2-3, right? So that'll put them at 3-4 for the season.
They have to They have to be winning. They have to be winning at Tampa, and the best out of the other four games would be to beat the Jaguars.
Yeah, but if they could come out of that with a 3-4 record and they get Drew Brees back, I think they're still in it to make a playoff run. And if they get into the playoffs with a healthy Brees, I think there's still tough competition there.
We'll wait and see.
Yeah, we'll wait and see. All right, so those are the two games we focused on, but now let's focus on just a couple other things. I like to do this every now and then. I can throw a curveball at my boy Keith.
Keith,
was there a game this week that really surprised you?
Oh, Schnapple. There was. Hold on 1 second. Now I just want to double check and see. Sorry, no, my friend.
No worries. I threw the curveball.
Well, actually, do you know what? The shock of the week for me was that Chargers-Lions game.
Okay, there you go.
I genuinely was baffled because I have a soft spot for this Chargers team. I think that they're far better than the way they're playing at the moment. I know that Melvin Gordon, their hopes do not hang on. And I suppose probably the other one then would be, without mentioning the Patriots, we will not mention them.
Well, that's not a surprise.
But winning so well, I suppose. No, it wasn't.
No, it's. I honestly am not shocked that they shut out the Dolphins. I'm not.
Maybe the Niners been so high scoring against the Bengals because the Bengals have good week one.
Yeah, and in Cincinnati as well. Like, it wasn't even in San Francisco.
Yeah.
For me, the biggest, I wouldn't say it was a shock, but I was actually surprised at the last drive, going back to the Thursday night game, the Buccaneers beating the Panthers. Why did not Cam Newton dive into the end zone, like, or dive for the first down or whatever it was? I think it was diving for the end zone. That's a Cam Newton play.
It is.
There is something wrong with Cam Newton.
There is. And he's been injured this week and I don't know.
That's not, see, this is why the Panthers are 0-2, because they can't play Cam Newton like Cam Newton. They're going into Arizona. It would not surprise me if Kyler Murray gets his first win.
He's getting there. Like, Kyler's growing with every game.
Yeah, I mean, he had a tough game this week. They went into Baltimore to try and beat the Ravens. Obviously, that was not going to happen.
No, not
But they slowed them down. I mean, the Baltimore Ravens obviously had the easy week one going against the frickin' Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
But, I mean, 23-17, that's a one-score game against the Baltimore Ravens in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Now they're going into Carolina. Or, no, they're hosting the Carolina Panthers. And I think it would not surprise me in the least that Arizona comes away with victory here. In fact, I've picked that as an upset pick of the week.
Nice.
So, yeah, that was probably my surprising thing, mostly because of no Cam. Yes, CMC should have made that lunge and should have made that play, but that's a Cam play all the way. Every other year that Cam's been the quarterback of the Carolina Panthers, that's a Cam sneak up the middle.
Yeah, it is, absolutely. But he doesn't, there's something not right there.
Yeah. Because that should have been, to me, in my mind, that should have been a Panthers 21-20 win. But it wasn't. Tampa Bay got up, good on them. They got one over on a division rival on Thursday Night Football. Those Thursday Night Football games, though, sometimes are just garbage.
Yeah.
They really are. I know the league wants to have them and love having them, but you watch the quality of play, and you cannot tell me that that is the same quality of play that you get on Sunday, Sunday's afternoon tilts. Or
what is it then, Bray? Like, is it lack of preparation? Is it the fact that it's just such a short week?
I think the short week really affects the players. They get into this rhythm of, okay, we get Monday, we go in, we study film. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is practice. Usually one of those days is full-on pads. Friday, the walkthroughs, they get into that. When you have to go in Monday and you're practicing, barely getting to watch any game film, seeing things like that, because you've got to prepare for that Thursday night game, I think it completely changes things, and you see sloppy play, and you see weird scores. That's why those games are so hard to pick sometimes.
Yeah.
Because you just see them, and they're like, what? Like, that's not supposed to happen, but it does because it's Thursday night.
Yeah, it's really strange. It's a really, really strange one. And like, again, the NFL are trying to promote it any way they can, you know, so that's kind of the
key. Yeah, their theme this year is what, rivals?
Yes.
Everyone's a rival or something like that. And so this week we got the Mighty, Mighty Titans or the Tennessee Titans against the Jacksonville Jaguars on Thursday Night Football.
That's going to be a tire fire. I actually yawned saying that.
You know what? I will say this. I'm going to give this kid in Jacksonville some credit. I cannot pronounce his name, but the mustache on him is amazing. And
did you see, like, you know, like, again, we listen to other people that Dan Hansen, did you see when he got off the plane and Dan Hansen's tweeted it? And he's just kind of like, look, I'm all for this guy, but come on. Like, you know, like, this is normally my bag, but this is, like, maybe just a tad step too far. Like, oh, hilarious.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess that's a reason to watch Thursday Night Football, but other than that, you're right, this is probably going to be pretty much a tire fire. But before we pick games for next week, anything else you want to say about week two?
I love football being back. The Patriots look good playing bad teams at the moment, so calm.
Yeah, and that's the thing, right? Luck of schedule. They get all these easy teams right into the game.
Exactly. The Chiefs look good. I will too say that the Seahawks, if they were to get more plays out of Metcalf and Montgomery, or not Montgomery, Lockett, they can be a force, and I think, I don't know why, but those America's fucking team just seem playing.
Yeah, they're so good right now, and they, like I said, they're destined for 3-0. They got Miami this week, so that's a 3-0 team right there.
Oh, and there's another surprising one that I forgot about. The Falcons beating the Eagles, that's a big...
Is it surprising, though? Like, I mean, when Matt Ryan's on, he's really good.
No, but, like, look at the beating that the Falcons got against the Vikings the week before.
True.
Don't forget that. Like, you know, like, again, he couldn't get anything going.
Yeah, but I will say this. I listen to... we always say this, we listen to other podcasts. But this is not a football-related one, but it is a guy who does love football, and he's a Philly Eagles fan.
Yeah.
And he said before the game, he goes, I don't like this for the Eagles. They're going into Atlanta after Atlanta just got beat down. And Atlanta's going to come out, and he goes, my team's going to lose. And I can honestly say that my team's going to go in there and lose. Now, to be fair, when you watch the game, the Eagles had a chance. I mean, they were there. They just couldn't put it in the end zone at the end of the game. They got stopped on fourth down. But, I mean, they were there. They had the opportunity. It just it didn't go their way. But I am not surprised. You when you get a beat down like that, unless you're the Miami Dolphins, you do want to come back and bounce back, and especially home opener for the Falcons as well, that game was. So I am not as surprised as you are.
No, again, it's just that, again, just looking at the week one, I know that they were must have been a bit sore and stuff, but for me, I just thought they were a little bit, it was surprising, especially seeing the week one that the Eagles had.
Yeah, you're right. But when an Eagles fan comes out and says that he's worried and that he thinks his team's going to lose, you know. I will say this. So your team has a chance to go 3-0 hosting Denver. My team has a chance to go 3-0 hosting 0-2 Cincinnati. Isn't it strange that we could potentially be going into week four saying the Buffalo Bills might be the only team that could stop the New England Patriots?
That's a kind of scary thought.
Isn't it? I know it's scary for me.
I was going to say, even you as a Bills fan, you gotta be feeling the pressure on that one.
Oh, God.
Well, no, I guess, look, I suppose it's like...
Do you know there was a MJD over at NFL Network has said the Bills will beat New England in week four.
Look, we'll wait until we get there. Let's see if you can go 3-0 and see how you get on.
Yeah, well, exactly. You got to beat Cincinnati first. Cincinnati.
Adam Schefter just reported that betting, and not that we condone betting, but we do like to look at the spread, for the first time in over 30 years.
Oh, yes, a 20-point differential between, what is it, New England and...
New England and what is it? New England and the Jets.
Oh, the Jets and Dallas and Miami.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, I saw that. That is ridiculous, isn't it?
The Patriots are 22.5-point favorites, and the Cowboys are 21.5-point favorites.
Well, I'm surprised they're lower than the Patriots. I thought they'd be the higher one.
And it marks the first time in 32 years that there's been a week with multiple 20-point spreads. And they were only talking about it there earlier today, kind of going, oh, the Cowboys could be the first team in, like, years to have a 20-point spread. So to have two teams do it, it's craziness. It's craziness. But it just shows the tire fire that is in Miami. And we know on this side of the pond, there's an awful lot of Miami fans. But certainly kind of...
I know one. Unfortunately, you know, he's also an Arsenal fan.
Oh, great. So he's got loads to cheer for then.
Yeah.
I have a few friends that are all... Because, again, kind of with the era of Ace Ventura and what we grew up with.
And the Miami Dolphins,
Dan Marino. So kind of... I know an awful lot of Miami Dolphins fans.
Yeah, I would say if I have a soft spot for any other team in the AFC, it is the Dolphins, because growing up, I've always been a Bills fan ever since I started watching football. But when you're watching Dan Marino play and seeing the stuff that he did and the fact knowing that he never actually got to win the Super Bowl and how good he was, you're just like, you cannot not have a soft spot for the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
Although this year they're kind of going... They got no, like, you know, what is that word I'm looking for? Sportsmanship.
Yeah.
This is poor sportsmanship.
I'm all for tanking, and we talked about...
Yeah, I'm not.
sucking for Sam and all that. We've watched it, but, like, if they don't book up, the league have to step in.
Well, that's the thing. Can the league step in? I have not heard anything against the rules... that they have to win games.
No, but this is just ridiculous. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Genuinely, you could put out college teams. I guarantee you, Ohio State.
Dude, listen to the latest around the NFL with Rich Eisen.
No.
Oh. Give that a listen and then come back to me on that. Folks, sorry, we're not going to talk about that because I don't want to spoil nothing. But let's move into week three. Let's pick some games. I've got one that I think we need to watch. And that's Ravens Chiefs.
Oh, boom. Right?
Can Lamar Jackson stop the high-powered offense?
Well, he's not on defense, so...
Well, no, but I mean... okay, can he go toe-to-toe?
Right, well, I'll tell you, right? We'll do that.
Okay.
But I think on Sunday at 6 o'clock, we should see if Buffalo can go 3-0.
Oh, okay. Cincinnati at Buffalo.
I think outside of that, I'll probably watch the Saints Seahawks maybe later in the day. What else is going to be a good one? Obviously, the Packers.
I'm off Monday, so I'll be watching the Sunday night game.
Oh, very good. The Rams Browns would be.
Yeah.
And then the Texans Chargers could be a good watch too. But I don't know. I think the drive for 3-0 and going into, are you going to Foxborough or have you got them at home
to be honest, I don't know. I'd have to pull up my
hold on.
You got Buffalo schedule there? Because you know how long it takes my computer to load lately.
Yeah, whatever's going on with you. You're at home. Yeah.
There you go. Host.
Or will we leave them? It's up to
you. You know what? Let's leave the Bills then, and we'll go into next week. Even at 2-1, that still would be a good game. But let's hope for 3-0. So let's leave that game. We'll put the Bills aside and let's talk about Bills and Patriots next week. So if we're gonna do Ravens Chiefs, that's a 6 o'clock. Let's try and pick a 9 o'clock one then here.
Chargers.
Oh, Texans Chargers, perfect.
Texans Chargers, that'll be a cracker.
A lot of good 9 o'clock games this week.
There is actually Saints Seahawks is another good one.
Yeah.
Panthers Cardinals, you were saying Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray could get his first win. Yeah.
Giants watch.
Giants with Daniel Jones.
Oh man, I love the fact that football's back.
Well, there you have it, folks. So we're the games we'll be focusing on, but of course we'll always talk other games because that's what we do on here. But the games we're going to focus on are the Ravens Chiefs, Lamar Jackson versus Patrick Mahomes, and the second game, the Texans Chargers. We're going to see if that Chargers defense can hold up against the Texans offense. And we're going to wrap up this show the way we always do. Take it away, Keith.
Go Pack, go!
And go Bills! Until next time, folks, stay safe, have fun.
War up.
Thanks for listening to the latest podcast here on the Warlock Hour Network. For all your entertainment news, comic book releases, and even our two NFL podcasts, come check them out on iTunes, Stitcher, and on our website, warlockhour.com. The Warlock Hour Network is sponsored by no one, but we're always looking. Thanks for listening.